A man was out of work, but he finally got a job in a circus playing the role of a gorilla. Every day he soared over the circus on the trapeze, twisting and turning and chanting to the delight of the large crowd. Well, one day he slipped and he fell into the lion's cage directly below. Though unhurt by the short fall, he was frightened by the lion, and he began to scream at the top of his lungs, "Help, help, help me, get me out of here." The lion came up to him and said, "Be quiet, you idiot, or we'll both lose our jobs." This story proves that regardless of how good we are at hiding something, sooner or later we will likely be found out. Now, I'm going to confess something to you. I'm a bit of a sports buff, as you might know. And I will tell you that I used to be very, very good and competent at hide and seek. You couldn't beat me. I was thinner than, I was smaller than, I was quicker than, I was agile. I was like a ninja. I mean, I could get into positions that nobody could believe. In fact, if I wanted to hide from you now, I'm guessing that I could. You wouldn't even know where I went because I am so good. Ow, that hurt. Ow, that hurt. Yes. See, that's the problem. That's the problem is that now I've got two hernias and a bad back and I can't hide anymore. But here's what I know. I know when I used to hide, there were people that would have a hard time finding me. Let me ask you this as we plug this in today. Don't we play a similar game with God called hide and sneak? I think we might. In essence, we sneak around carefully while sinning carelessly. You know, from the beginning of time, the beginning of mankind, the act of hiding and sneaking has been synonymous with the activity of sinning. In Genesis 3, 8 through 10, we read about Adam and Eve, who upon disobeying God's command to eat from the tree of conscience, they heard God walking in the garden and subsequently hid themselves from him. "Why are you hiding?" God asked. Adam replied, "I heard you coming and I didn't want you to see me naked, so I hid." "Who told you you were naked?" God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree that I warned you about?" You see, we can't beat God at hide and seek, but we keep trying. And this is a game that man continues to lose. The Illustrated Dictionary in the Bible claims that, quote, "God was present as Lord in all creation, and there is no escaping him. He is omniscient," which means that he has the power to know all things. "He's omnipresent," which means that he has the ability to be everywhere at all times and to do everything. Three times Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 4 and 6 and 18, he says, "Your Father," capital F, he says, "Your Father," he says, "Your Father knows every secret." God knows everything about us. Does that scare us? Does that encourage us? How do we feel about this? Paul said in Romans 2, 16, he says, "A day will surely come when at God's command, Jesus Christ will judge the secret lives of everyone, their inmost thoughts and motives. This is all part of God's great plan, which I proclaim." So while man plays hide and sneak, God continues to win at hide and seek. God is not hiding, but rather he is watching and seeking man, and it's always been this way. Many people feel like that God is hiding from them, but God says, "I'm not hiding from you. Rather, I am seeking you. I am trying to tell you that I want you to come to me." God doesn't hide. He's just active in our lives. In Acts 5, verses 1 through 10, we're introduced to Ananias and Sapphira. Many of you might remember this story, especially you Bible studiers. These two sold some of their property, but only brought back part of their money. Peter asked them, in verse 9, he approaches them and he says, "How could you and your husband even think of doing something like this, conspiring together to test the spirit of God's ability to know what is going on?" Both Ananias and Sapphira lost that game, and subsequently, they lost their lives. While God was seeking them, they were sneaking around and sinning against him. How many of us sneakily attempt to stuff at least one skeleton in the proverbial closet, thinking that we've hidden that sin behind a locked door that no one can ever see? Well, God has news for us. He has the keys to that closet, and he sees our skeletons. Why do we try to continually hide them? Hebrews 4:13 says this. It says, God knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him, to whom we must explain all that we have done. Adam and Eve didn't get away with their sin. Ananias and Sapphira tried to hide and sneak with God, and they didn't win, and neither will we. I want to look at our sermon text today. It comes from Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. Folks, you're not going to hear the word hide or hidden in here, but you're going to hear a word. I'm going to emphasize it. You're going to understand why we're emphasizing it, because if you played hide and seek like we played hide and seek as kids, there was always a little more fun when you played it in the dark. Listen closely to what he says here. He says, for though once your heart, here it comes, for though once your heart was full of darkness, now it is full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Because of this light within you, you should do only what is good and right and true. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil. Here comes the word again. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose them. It would be shameful even to mention here those pleasures of darkness which the ungodly do. But when you expose them, the light shines in upon their sin and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. And that is why God says in the scriptures, awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. When I was growing up, we grew up on a farm, and my dad bought a Honda three-wheeler. It was a big one. And we used to have friends over, and we'd have sleepovers. And when we had sleepovers, we used to play hide-and-seek on the three-wheeler. It was incredible. And so we had this large acreage. And so the people who were hiding had flashlights. There were two guys on the three-wheeler that had flashlights. Now, we tried doing it in the daytime. It was terrible. It was no fun because we saw everybody everywhere. But when the sun went down and when it became dark, it was one of the greatest games that we ever played as kids. And I remember thinking just how incredibly dangerous that was. And today I think, how in the world did I make it to this place playing hide-and-seek in the three-wheeler in the dark? We almost ran over these kids at least three or four times. But this is the point. The point is, it's easy. It is easy to hide in the dark. Dr. James Gray states that, quote, sin forms a black background against which the jewel of God's grace shines even more brightly. Here, through Gray's assessment and the Apostle Paul's assertion, we are introduced to the concept of darkness and the subsequent light that shines from and through God that supersedes it. Sin and darkness are symbiotic, folks. They feed off of each other. Sin craves darkness. It seeks darkness. It sneaks around in the darkness until it finds the darkest part of our own hearts, and that is where it takes refuge, and that is where it lives. And for many of us, we have so many dark sins tucked away in our heart, and we say, nobody will ever know, and I can tell you, God knows. When Jesus became the human sacrifice for man's sin, and as he hung on the cross, identifying himself with all of our sins, Matthew 27:45 poignantly claims that the whole earth was covered with darkness for 3 hours from noon until 3 o'clock p.m. Let me tell you why that happened. It happened because Jesus Christ, God's Son, became man's sin. And for that period when he hung on the cross and he assumed all of our sins, the world was shrouded in darkness, because that's what sin looks like. It's dark. And it's ugly. And it tries to hide. But it couldn't stay on the cross. And today, because it couldn't stay on the cross, we have no fear of dying. You see, we know that day and that event is Good Friday. But for God, that day was a very dark, dark day. Ephesians 5, 8, 11, and 12 uses the words darkness. Paul refers to these words darkness. The believers at Ephesus were at one point hiding and sneaking and sinning and living in darkness. I can think back to my darkest days of darkest sin, and I can tell you that my worst sins were perpetrated and committed in darkness. Paul asked in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, how can light live with darkness? And the answer is, it can't. And when the Lord is our Savior, it won't. Paul said in Colossians 1:13, he says, for God has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. I love verses 8 and 14. It says, for though once your heart was full of darkness, listen to this, it says, and he now transfers this thought. He says, now it is full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Moving to 14, that is why God says in the scriptures, awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. You see, this light of Christ comes by way of the Holy Spirit, who offers something called enlightenment that we read about in Hebrews 6, verse 4. And it follows the very Trinitarian nature of God, who is 1 John 1, 5 asserts, is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And folks, when this happens, and when this light shines, we call this illumination by conviction. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, many people will try to hide from it. Many people try to run from it. Many people will seek the very darkness that their lives are shrouded by it. But I will tell you this. When we are illuminated by Jesus Christ through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, things change in our lives. No longer do you have a desire to hide. No longer do you say, I crave the darkness. You will rather say, I actually want that light. How badly do we want that light? You see, we can't beat God at hide and sneak, because God seeks and shines the light on the very sins the man thinks he hides. In essence, it's just a game we can't win. So what do we do? First, we must allow the Holy Spirit to expose and convict, and we must then confess and repent the very sins that we sneakily try to hide. John says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13 says this, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. A footnote in the Living Bible claims that, quote, it is folly to indulge oneself in sin. It goes on, it says, it is even worse to hide one's transgressions. Sooner or later, this footnote says, sins will be made public, for there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Whoever sins is benefited best by confessing those sins to God and reforming his life and thus having his conscience eased, end quote. And folks, when this happens, and I am hopeful that this has happened to every single person in this church, the proverbial light will come on. You see, when you choose and when I've chosen to give my life to Jesus Christ, and they say, God, I can't hide from you anymore. You know what I'm doing. They don't know what I'm doing, but you know what I'm doing. And because you know what I'm doing, I'm tired of hiding. And so what I need you to do today is I need you to turn the light on. And when he turns the light on, your light and your life will change. You don't want to live in darkness. You don't crave darkness. You don't seek darkness. Rather, you say, I want the light. And that's when the light comes on. Folks, we don't sneak and hide from God. Rather, we seek and find God. And then this is what gets really neat. Then God hides and shines his light in us and through us. I love Psalm 27:1. It simply says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. God uses us by lighting the proverbial fuse in us. And verses 10 through 13 of our sermon text indicates what comes from this. I'm going to read this one more time. It says, learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Paul says, take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness. Here it comes. Now things start to change. Remember, now your light is on. Now you've given your life to Christ. You say, I can't hide from you anymore. I don't want to live in the darkness anymore. I want to live in the light that you give me every day because you are my more. And here's what happens. It says, when this happens, it says, you will rebuke and expose them. The earthless pleasures of evil and darkness will be rebuked and exposed by you. You don't want them anymore. You just see them now. And you know what to do with them now because you recognize them now because your light is on. He goes on. It says it would be shameful even to mention here those pleasures of darkness, which the ungodly do. But when, listen to this, this is a command for all of us. He says, but when you expose them, the light shines in upon their sin and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. And folks, here is the news that I'm going to give you, and it's good news. We're that light. We're that light. You see, you can't live in darkness anymore. You can't be darkness anymore. When people see you, they need to see light. Light. And when I look through these windows, and I'm reminded, and we sit in this church when it's dark and you can't see, but when I look through these windows, and I know these windows have been here for a long time, and when these windows cast that light, I think we all feel just a little bit better about ourselves when we sit in this church. Am I right? We like the way it looks. We like light. We're that light. We can't live in darkness. We don't show the darkness. We expose the darkness. These words of Paul are strong. You see, God's light and his people assist in exposing the darkness and the sin that's found in all people. You remember when you played hide-and-seek? I used to have this happen all the time. We used to play in grade school. It was great. I mean, grade school was huge. And we had great hiding places where I went to school. And so, you know, on this occasion where we hid, there was always these places that only small, agile, quick, ninja-like kids could get into. And I would always find these places, and I'd win at hide-and-seek, to the point where they'd be like, all right, we give up. Where are you at? I'd be like, that's right. Don't mess with me in hide-and-seek. But there was always the one guy. And you know the guy. You probably ran into the guy. This guy was known as the bully. I never liked this guy. But here's what would happen. I would be in this place hiding, and this guy would call me back. What are you doing? They'd be like, shh, I'm hiding. Hey, he's over here. I'd be, really? Really? Nobody likes you. Nobody likes you because you just ruined my great hiding place. We're those guys. We're those guys. Now you say, well, wait a second. What does that mean? You told me I can call people out now. I can go up and say, I know what you did. Nope, not going to do that. I'm not going to win you many friends. That's kind of darkness. That's no light. You're not even going to know you're going to do it. You see, you're going to become one of those guys, though. When you're around people, when you walk around people, hang around people, work around people, live around people, you're going to call out those sins. Not verbally, don't do it. You're going to do it with your light. You see, when you're around people like this, they'll look at you and they'll be like, oh, man, now I see what I've done. Now I see who I am. Because God's light can expose a lot of sin. We're those lights. Now, before we get too full of ourselves, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says these words, God says, my power shows up best in weak people. So before you get too far, say, hey, I'm light, and I'm going to call every bad person out in this world. No, you're not. He is. And he's going to use you to accomplish this. Now, let me explain something, because we're all weak. Many of you may say, I'm not weak. Well, we are. We are. And that's a good thing that we're weak. I'm going to use this. I was looking for a flashlight. I was singing the first song. I have a prop, folks. Welcome back to fifth grade, because I have a prop. I always used to have props in fifth grade. Chad, do a science project. Okay, I'll bring props. So right back to fifth grade for me. But here's the point. Flashlight. Somebody gave me this flashlight when the power went out. Do not look at this thing, folks. But this was given to me when our power went out. I don't know if it was maybe a gift, maybe a gag gift. I don't know. But nobody knew that we would be using this again. So here you go. By the way, it kind of feels like the Winter Jam concert, right? Look at that. Woo! No pyrotechnics. All right. But here's my point. We are weak people. We are weak people. And the point I want to make is this. And this pulpit, which is old and wooden and strong, this pulpit, I could not break, crack, karate chop, kick. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fracture, couldn't hurt it. And when I take this light, because this is a strong edifice, when I take this light and I put it against this wood, you don't see light, right? This is a strong edifice. It blocks light. It does not allow the flow of light. But when I take this weak bulletin, this is a very weak bulletin. This is just paper. God can tear it. He can burn it. He can rip it. He can do whatever he wants with it, kind of like us. And when you put that up, you can see, folks, look at the prop, see it works. You can see that light. This is what God does for us. We are this paper. We are these people. God says, listen, just go around, be around my people, your people, all people, and shine the light. And just because you're weak makes you even better and stronger and more powerful to shine my light. This is what he asks us to do. But if we're going to shine the light, we got to get out of the darkness. We've got to be used by him. We got to welcome him. You see, we're those weakly, sneaky, and saved people who've actually seen the light. Jesus says in John 3, 18 through 21, and I love this passage. He says this, he says, there is no eternal doom waiting those who trust them or trust him to save them. But those who don't trust him, those who do not trust him have already been tried and condemned for not believing in the only Son of God. Their sentence is based on this fact that the light, here it comes, capital L, that the light from heaven came into the world. But they loved the darkness more than the light, for their deeds were evil. They hated the heavenly, capital L, light, because they wanted to sin in the darkness. They stayed away from that light for fear their sins would be exposed and they would be punished. But those doing right gladly come to the light to let everyone see that they are doing what God wants them to do. We don't play hide and sneak anymore. Rather, we shine the light of Christ to a dark and evil and sinful world. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. The other day, I don't want to tell you where we're at. Take a guess. Friday night, we're getting ready to walk into this certain place where we always go Friday night. And my girls, I loved it. My girls so intrigued me. They said, hey, Dad. And I thought, what are they going to ask? Because it's getting to that point now where I'm getting scared. You know, they're at that age where I'm thinking, oh, no, this is a bad one. And they said, Dad, what's your favorite Bible verse? I thought, man, what a proud dad moment. My girls are asking me about my favorite Bible verse. I say, no, it's always been Romans 12, 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I've always liked that one. But then I stopped and said, you know what, girls? Actually, I've got so many, but I really, really, really like Matthew 5, 14 through 16. So much so that at this funeral that I conducted on Friday, I read this passage to a large mass of people because I love this passage and because it indicates to us what we're supposed to do. Here's what Jesus says. It's given during his Sermon on the Mount, and he says this, and I love it. He says, talking to his disciples, he says, you are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see so that they will praise your heavenly Father. We're that light. It's who we are. That's what we are. Have you ever been around people like this? I've been around people like this. You know what kind of people I'm talking about. When you're around them, they almost glow. It's almost like they're effervescent. And when you're around them, you just feel this warmth and this glow because they're just so righteous and holy. And then you start looking at yourself, you're like, oh, I don't know that I like being around this person. It's like they can see right through me. And we start to assess ourselves. And we start to undress ourselves because we look at ourselves and we say, we are not even close to being that righteous or that holy. You've been around people like this? I've been around people like this. And I can tell you that I'm around people like this. My first response is this. My first response is to say, give me more of your light. Give me more of your light. Show me my sins. Reveal to me what God wants me to see from within. Help me to see what he wants. I enjoy being around people like this. I think Nicodemus needed to be around someone like this. Many of you might know this story. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jewish leader. He was a guy that didn't like Jesus. But Nicodemus had to be very careful because Nicodemus, because he was part of the Sanhedrin, because he was a Pharisee, because he was a Jewish leader, if he was going to even see or talk to or approach Jesus, he had to do it in darkness. And John chapter 3 tells us he did just this. In fact, Nicodemus snuck out in the dark one night to seek the light and enlightenment of the very man that he was called to denounce. John 3, 1 through 17. Now here's what's neat. There's an abbreviated period in Scripture where we lose track of Nicodemus. We don't even know where he went, what happened to him. We don't even know how everything transpired with this meeting with Jesus, but something happened that's recorded in Scripture. We fast forward here to John 19, 39 through 42. Now listen to this. It tells us in these verses that Nicodemus personally saw the light. We have to assume he saw the light as he wrapped. He took down the body of Jesus from the cross. He wrapped the body, embalmed the body, and prepared the body because somewhere along the line, and I'm guessing it was on that night when he snuck out into the darkness, Nicodemus saw the light. That light came from Jesus Christ. We're that light. There will be people seeking you out. There will be people looking for you, wanting to talk to you, asking you questions. The question is, will you show them light? You see, it's easy to live like a Christian in church. It's easy to come into this church today, sing songs, bow our heads, say prayers, read His Word, shake hands, offer hugs, give smiles, because this is what we do. But when you walk out of this church and you leave this light and you enter the world of darkness, it's not as easy to do. And yet we're called to do it. We're called to get in the trenches and the gutters. We're called to get in the back alleys and the backwoods, and we're called to shine light in a world of darkness. So let me ask you this. Do we still hide and sneak, or do we shine Christ's light? Folks, hiding is synonymous with darkness. Darkness is associated with sin, and because of the fear of revealing it, and maybe even repenting of it today, sadly, we will assuredly miss out on the rewards that God has waiting for us tomorrow. We can't wait. What sin or sins have we sneakily committed and subsequently hidden today? What skeletons have we attempted to hide in our dark and secret closets today? Why, up until this day, have we chosen sin's darkness to our Savior's perfect light? Revelation 21:27 assures us that nothing evil will ever be permitted in heaven, including the hidden sins found in the darkest heart of unrepentant man. So our choice today is simple. We can either attempt to hide our sins from God in the errant assumption that He won't find them, which relegates us and those that need light from us to a world of darkness, where we can follow God's words that we read in Ephesians 5:14 that tell us this: awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. The world needs the light that we can give. No man has ever beaten God in a game of hide and sneak. And unfortunately for those who have tried, they realize too late that it's a game you can't afford to lose. God is seeking us today. Will we hide from Him? Or will we welcome the light that exposes and reveals and hopefully causes us to repent of our sins? Folks, we get opportunities in life to change our lives. I gave a sermon on Friday in this huge, massive funeral about winning at life. I meant every word of it. And I mentioned Matthew 5:14-16. And my goal is, I prayed all week because I knew how important this event was going to be. Well, it's the same with today. Is that that light would shine from wherever I was. Today, I pray this. I pray that your light will shine from wherever you are. We've got to get out of the darkness, folks. We can't live in the darkness. If you think today that this is a calling to relive your past sins, I can tell you it's not. Rather, it's an opportunity to repent of your past sins. That is what it is. It's an opportunity to walk out of the darkness today, and it's an opportunity to live in the light. It's an opportunity today to change the world, because you will be that new world, a world filled with light. That's what we're called to do. Let's sing this song from Francesca Battistelli. I hope I said that correctly. Holy Spirit. Hey, girls, don't move. Don't move. I'm going to use you as an example real quick. You know, it's interesting. I love when our girls and our boys and everybody come up here and they sing, and I think you can actually hear them back there. Let me ask you something. We ask our girls this every, girls, how many times do I ask you this? When I say, how much do you love church? Don't I ask you all the time, don't I? Yeah, look at them shaking their heads. All right, let me ask you something, everyone. I'm just curious. And again, this is like the most rhetorical question ever, because if you don't hold your hand up, everybody's going to look and say, they don't like church. Do we love church? Do we love Sunday mornings? Isn't this amazing, right? It is amazing. And it's great. It is great. And the thing I would say is, this is what it feels like. This is what it looks like to worship God in his light. And my hope and my dream is this. And I don't think I'm hoping for much. I don't think I'm dreaming much. I just think this is reality. I don't want this to end. We're going to leave this earth eventually. We will. We're going to leave this earth. And there will be a little dark chasm in our lives when we lose loved ones that we've already experienced this. But I want to imagine just for a moment, and I want you to imagine just for a moment, all of us, you guys and all of you guys and myself all together worshiping up there in that light. I don't want to lose any of you. I don't. This is the way I envision it, folks. This is the way it's got to look, and this is the way I'm sure it looks. We've got to be that light. We've got to live in that light. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've blessed us with, and especially for this time together to worship you. We come into your presence. We seek that light shine through us. We're weak vessels. We can shine light, but we have to get rid of the darkness first. If there are any individuals today who have said, I still got the skeletons in my closet, my heart is dark, I pray today that either here or there, we will repent of these sins and we'll ask for you to expose them. Help us to long for light, I pray. Go with us and keep us safe and help us to make a difference in this dark world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a good week, everyone. God bless.